Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise. We thank you for this opportunity to encounter your holy scriptures and your holy gospel. Open them up to us, O Lord. We invite your Spirit to move and your, as always, your Son to dwell among us. Thank you, dear Father. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There was a missionary, still alive, named Leslie Newbegin. I believe he's still alive. Really done some tremendous things in the field of mission for the church. And he was visiting England, and he went to Yorkshire to a place called Fountains Abbey. And this is what he said about his visit to this abbey. He says, "I remember a visit to the ruins of Fountains Abbey in Yorkshire, when, as we walked from one part of the site to the another, a friend read the relevant text from the official guide at each point. When he reached the ruins of the chapter house, the text was as follows: Here the monks gathered every Sunday to hear a sermon from the abbot, except on Trinity Sunday, owing to the difficulty of the subject." Throughout history, today has been a tough day for pastors and preachers and abbots and monks who try to teach about the Trinity and about the Godhead. But let's jump into that difficulty nonetheless. So I've shared this with you before, but St. Augustine had seven statements of the Trinity. And this is what they are. He said, "The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. The Son is not the Father is not the Holy Spirit is not the Son." And then, after these six statements, Augustine adds one more: "There is only one God." I'm sure that helps, and so I'll be done with my sermon now. So, kind of in essence of what he's saying is, God has distinct persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God. Genesis 1 kind of helps us a little bit with this, because in Genesis 1:1 it says God created the heavens and the earth. So we see the three in that. We see the one in that verse. And then in 1:2 it says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And so we see the person, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God hovering this moment. And then perhaps the most compelling one is in Genesis 1:26, in which God says, you can check this out in today's first reading, "Let us create." You ever notice that pronoun? "Let us create mankind in our image." And so we see the three. So it's three persons, yet one God. At Bible study this week, we talked about how sometimes in the scriptures we have to hold things in tension. And I think the Godhead holds something in tension that's hard for us to understand. And that's how can you be three and yet one? And I thought that a guy named G.K. Chesterton had something really good to say about that. He says, "The ordinary man has always been sane, because the ordinary man has always been a mystic. He has permitted the twilight. He has always had one foot in the earth and the other in a fairyland. He's always cared more for truth than for consistency. If he saw two truths that contradict each other, he would take the two truths and the contradiction along with it." And so what I'm inviting you to do today is to be okay with mystery. As we approach the Godhead, we have to, because there's so many things that God knows that we won't know until he chooses to show us in heaven. And that's okay to dwell with that mystery, to be okay with that mystery, and to approach God and how he wants to show and reveal himself. Leslie Newbegin goes on to say that the Trinity has been lost in the public square. And what he means by that public square is really the ideas that are exchanged out there in the world. The Trinity has fallen off that list, that discussion list. It's been either removed or it's just been neglected or not spoken of. And essentially what this public square is the place where we go out and share Christ. Public square could be somebody we meet at a coffee shop and have a discussion about God. It could be when people debate on Facebook or on some sort of social media. That's a public square as well these days. So it could be in person. It could be electronic. It could be a lot of places. But if you notice, the Trinity isn't discussed very much in the public anymore. And there's been a couple negative effects to that besides the obvious effect that God's true nature is not being spoken of and revealed. One of those is individualism. So we live in a country that talks a lot about unity in the documents of our forefathers and in other places. But when it comes down to it, I think the majority of people in the United States are more focused on the individual than they are the bigger group. And if you think about when God is talked about in the public square, that God is a Unitarian God. It's one God that is kind of a mix of Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, and Jewish God all rolled up into one. A Unitarian God. A little bit of something for everybody kind of thing, but one God. And what Newbegin says is because of that focus on a Unitarian God rather than a Trinitarian God, then we've also, in turn, focused more on the individual or the self. One and one is what he says. And there's a lot of things that's lost when that happens. If you focus too much on the individual, there's isolation. There's depression. Studies show that we're more connected than ever electronically, but we're more lonely than ever also. And that's because it's oftentimes just us and the captivated world in which we live in. And so the Trinity offers a correction to this, and that is to be related again. Relatedness. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has existed forever since the beginning of time. When this text was happening in real life in Genesis 1, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there with the Father creating the world. It's not just the Father that's creating the world, and then somehow the Son and the Holy Spirit come along later. They've always been together for all time. And they've always shared in all that they do. And in everything that happens, even though they might talk about one, the others are there in some way, participating and furthering whatever it is God is choosing to do. The other negative that has occurred because the Trinity has been gone, Newbegin says, is the abuse of power. So when you have just one God that you're focused on in a Unitarian sense, then that lends to governments that also just have one leader. And sometimes those have worked out okay. There's some examples of some really good kings here and there and queens throughout the time. But a lot of times when you talk about one leader, it's usually tends to be a negative thing. And he says that's one of the things that's been lost in the Trinity, because in the Trinity, it's about shared love. That's what Finn kept saying when we tried to identify these, and he's right. Shared love is a part of the Godhead and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and divine fellowship. You remember Matthew 3:17, the baptism of Jesus? At that event, the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased." And so we see that love is a part of the three persons of the Godhead. The Father is saying to the Son how much he loves him, proclaiming it to all. And of course, the Holy Spirit descends, as it says, like a dove upon Jesus at his baptism. It's a wonderful event to see the three persons of the Godhead and their love and fellowship. I think most of this has been lost in the Unitarian God of civil religion that we hear about, spoken of, sometimes in reverent ways, but there's not a whole lot of substance there. Who is that God really? And that's what the Trinity does, is the Trinity defines who God is. And we have a whole testimony in the Old Testament and New Testament to help explore the depths of God. Now, here's something really cool. On these days, usually, you know, I talk about the Trinity and we kind of stay focused on that the whole time, and we're going to do that. One thing I think that's really cool is that we can be instructed about how we can share our faith, as I mentioned earlier, in the public square by the Trinity. And so we're going to try to combine those two things today. Remember in Lent, we did our inconvenient practices, ways in which we are distinct and different. And we wrote them on the board, and it's still down there if you want to check them out. And one of those things on the list was humility. And I think humility really says a lot about who God is. We see it in a testimony throughout the Gospels in Jesus' life. And because in humility, you've got to be related to one another. You've got to have relatedness. You can't be humble if it's just you. That requires the other. And then also, you've got to have love to show humility. You can't be humble and hate the person that you're, you know, trying to show love to. And we see this in John 13:14. This is where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And I want to go to that verse now. Let Jesus speak it the way he said it. This is John 13:14. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." And so we see that relatedness. He's giving us a mission. And here's the King of Glory, the ruler of the universe, washing the feet of the disciples. We see in the Godhead humility. And then he gives us a mission. I want you to go and to wash one another's feet. And so he gives us mission. He gives us a task to do in the public square, besides words to speak, to be humble disciples of him who serve and love. And those replace things that the Unitarian God has offered. Instead of service, the Unitarian God is oftentimes more about fear and that power of the one leader, the one dictator. And instead of love, that Unitarian God is often more about violence that we see in dictatorships like Vladimir Putin and others. And so what would Trinity look like as applied to the public square? Well, Newbegin goes on to state that it's not about like taking the church back to a time in which the church was in power. He says that's not really what we should do. We shouldn't create a Christian state again or try to do that. And he says that at the same time, we can't lose that Christ is Lord. I think that's the temptation when we go out into the public square and we try to talk about God, because the Trinity is so silenced and the Unitarian God is accepted in some ways. It's hard to talk about Jesus as Lord. He says we can't lose that. Christ is Lord. And we got to keep saying that. So in some ways, one of our inconvenient practices, humility, is related to an inconvenient belief, which is the Trinity. It's another thing that makes us different. And we should be talking about that in the public square. So here's a tangible example. Jeff did this at the Bible study this week. Whenever you talk about Jesus as God incarnate, you're talking about the Trinity. The Spirit may not be mentioned there, but the Spirit's, you know, there. But you're talking about how Jesus is God's Son, fully God, yet fully man. And that's very different from a Unitarian God. So when you talk about Jesus as God's Son, fully God and fully man, you're talking about the Trinity. When you mention things about being saved to someone, just do it a little different way to get their wheels turning. Here's an example. And say, God the Father is my Savior. You know, we kind of give Jesus that role, right? We give creating to the Father usually. We give saving to the Son. But as I said, all the Godhead is doing all these things at all times. Jesus was creating. The Father is saving. So say something different like that. See if you get a puzzled look. There's your invitation to talk about the Trinity. Say the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit created all that is. And that gets them thinking again. Oh, it's a little different. Say the Holy Spirit is Lord. That's another way too. So take any ones of the Godheads and switch their roles, their typical roles. And that can get people thinking a little bit about the Trinity and talking about that in a new way. This guy named Bill Plaker, he was a professor at Wabash over here in Crawfordsville. And he talked about a movie that is translated My Sweet Life in English. I think it's originally in Italian. But it was shown in a theater in a college town. So there was a lot of young people on the in the theater. And in the opening scene of this film, they're carrying a helicopter with a huge halter, is carrying a statue of Jesus with his arms outstretched to put it on top of wherever it was going in Rome. And they in one of the scenes, the helicopter takes the statue of Jesus past a couple guys that are working way up high washing windows. And the guys laugh. Hey, there's Jesus. And then it pans to another scene in which the helicopter hovers above some ladies who are sunbathing, and the pilots try to get the girls' numbers to ask them out on a date. And the audience again laughs at the irony of Jesus hanging there while they try to get some girls on a date. And then, for the first time in the film, as the helicopter raises Jesus up to take him to his resting place on this building, for the first time, the camera zooms in on Jesus' face and on his beard and on his eyes. And the whole theater goes silent. And no one laughs. And it's all that is quiet. And the reason that happened is because Jesus Christ is truth. And these people in the audience who may not even have known him were still able to recognize that. That Jesus Christ is truth. And it's not in an abstract sense. It's truth in an incarnate sense. And so despite all the ways that Jesus Christ is booted from the public square, you can't change truth. And when you mention Jesus in a conversation, the same things happens. People might get mad. They don't laugh. And then that gives your invitation to witness to the truth that is around us. In the Holy Spirit dwelling, and in the Father, and in the Son. And so, as I close today, I hope today that we learned a little bit about Trinity. As we always do on Trinity Sunday, it's one of the jobs that us pastors have, to teach about the Godhead. But I think what this teaching today can do is also empower us to go forth and to share the stories in those little ways and moments that come to us unexpected in our daily lives. Or on social media too. That is a public forum. That's another way. Share things on Facebook. Talk about God on there. That's a good thing too. Or all those forums. But as we're called to be servants of the living God, we're also called to speak about him before all that want to hear. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Trinity and humility. Two practices that are unique, that God has given us to be a witness to and a testimony for. Amen.